Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
So anyway, I just want to go through my notes. I want to do this. I don't want to take a lot of time in delivering this message. I actually want to give the Lord plenty of time for Him to do what He wants to do in this place, because I really do believe that if you're hungry, if you're in a place of hunger, desire for a depth, not just religion. I'm not talking about religion now. If religion is what you have, God is inviting you to something deeper than just religion. There's a relationship and an intimacy that we have a privilege of having with Him. He's not an impersonal God. He's a God that connects with us. He's not like Buddha. He's not like Allah. He's not a heavy-handed God. He is a God that is, he said that Abraham was his friend. He wants us to have that friendship, that intimacy with Him. So I'm just going to go through my notes fairly quickly, and it'll pick up. It might be a little bit boring for you at first, but I pray not. I pray that the Holy Spirit would just breathe on everything that I say this morning. But this year, we've been talking about being fearless and faithful. Faithful, full of faith. When you're full of faith, you need to ask yourself, what faith are you full of? The only faith that we need is that Jesus Christ paid the price for our sin. That's the faith we need. And everything after that is built on Him. We don't build anything. So that's completely off my notes, so here we go. So let's talk about what a superficial and a shallow relationship looks like. And we're talking really about worldly, superficial relationships. What keeps us in a shallow relationship is fear. The relationship may take over my life. If I go any deeper into the relationship, it's going to just take over my life. I'm worried that it'll require too much from me. I might fear that I have to give up my goals, my plans. I might fear I'll be abandoned. I might fear that someone might see the real me. Or it could be selfish reasons that we stay shallow. We want to take, but don't ask me to give you anything back. Or we might ask, what's in it for me? What are you going to give me? We don't see the other person's value or appreciate it. We want the limelight. We want the glory. That's superficial. It's so quiet in here. Somebody talk to me. So I was reading this morning, and you know what? When you're preparing a message, it's never finished. Just so you know, it's never finished. You feel like you're always adding something to it, and I got scribbles everywhere. But there was something I read this morning that Daniel Kalenda said, and he said, our seeking of the Lord is in exact proportion to our value of Him. Our seeking of the Lord is in exact proportion to our value of Him. And then he used the example of, if somebody offered you $1 million to sit 2 hours in the morning with the Lord, how many of you guys would make room? Because we put value on that $1 million, didn't we? Shallow. Superficial. And we're all there, okay? Because unfortunately, we're still living in this body that we have to buff, you know, we have to continuously kill it. So, but He's given us an invitation, and it's a call to go deeper. So I'm just going to go ahead and go through some scriptures, because I believe that the Word of God, when it goes forth, it doesn't return void. It's going to land. It's going to land, and that seed is going to grow. Holy Spirit is going to cause it to grow. So let's go to Colossians 1, verses 21 to 23 in the NIV. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now, I underlined for myself as I've been going through this thing actually since May. Again, do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. Now, what happens is in our Christian walk, we end up stumbling and over the law again, over and over and over. And it's like he keeps bringing me back to the simplicity of faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He has to continuously do that. I don't know if it's because of my Catholic background. I don't know what it is, but I always default back to performance. And he has to continuously remind me, guess what? The only thing that you can offer me is your surrender. The only thing that you can offer me is to sit at my feet or sit on the potter's wheel. You ever see where he says that he is the potter and I am the clay? And if you look at that clay needs to sit on the wheel in order for it to be shaped. We don't sit on the potter's wheel, but that's the only place that we're going to be shaped into the image of Jesus Christ. It's the only way. Apart from that intimacy, we can't produce anything. There is no growth without that intimacy. So I can't take credit for any growth that I have ever experienced in my Christian walk, not one bit of it. And we're going to go to Hebrews 6, 1 to 2. This is one that really stood out to me in the last few months. Therefore, let us go on and get past the elementary stage in the teachings and doctrine of Christ the Messiah, advancing steadily toward the completeness and perfection that belong to spiritual maturity. Let us not again be laying the foundation of repentance and abandonment of dead works, dead formalism, and of the faith by which you turn to God. See, we all know, right? In our head, we all know that Jesus Christ paid the price for all of our sin. That if we come to him, we repent. He forgives us our sins. He graces us with his grace. Why are we continually going back to the law saying, don't do this, do that, don't do this, do that? Why do we keep going back there? He's basically saying, okay, guys, let's move on to maturity. Let's move on from that. And you know what it is? You know what that maturity is? Surrender. See, the deep, it's not about getting more knowledge. Knowledge comes at his feet. Knowledge comes with time in his word. Knowledge comes with fellowshipping with other believers. All that happens, but it all starts in the place of intimacy with Christ. So, do you want $1 million for 2 hours to sit with the Lord Jesus? Do you value the $1 million or do you value him? It's challenging for me. I've been challenged. 1 Peter 1:13 through 16. So you prepare your minds for action. Be completely sober in spirit, steadfast, self-disciplined, spiritually and morally alert. Here we go again. Fix your hope completely. I mean completely. On the grace of God that is coming to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. So quit beating yourself up because you're not here or you're not here. You know, the only responsibility that we have been given by the Lord is surrender. It's surrender. As obedient children of God, do not be conformed to the evil desires which governed you in your ignorance. Now, I saw this a different way because the evil desires that govern me are all based in performance. It's not so much of I did something bad. It's more of I'm leaning back into the law again. Because it's like we continuously revert back to that place. So it's like I want merit. I want to do it the way the world says you get promoted. You do good enough, man, I'm going to get a gold star. And all of a sudden, I'm going to be here instead of here. And we start looking at one another and comparing one another, like, oh, he is not as good as me, or, oh, he's better than I am. Why do we do that? Why are we comparing ourselves with one another? That's how I saw this scripture. I'm going to go back here. Live as obedient children of God. Do not be conformed to the evil desires which governed you in your ignorance before you knew the requirements and transforming power of the good news regarding salvation. Before you knew the requirements, what are the requirements? Believe, receive. Everything else flows out of that. Abide. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. Be set apart from the world by your godly character and moral courage, because it is written, you shall be holy, set apart, for I am holy. So then I ended up, wow, scary to read that when you have a law mentality. It's scary to read those words when you have a law mentality. And what I mean by law mentality is, you shall not this, and you shall not that, and you shall not this. God has set us free from the law. He's brought us into the place of grace. Okay. We know ourselves, and we forget that the act of being holy, which is set apart, is leaning into Jesus, all our hope in his grace, and he is holy. Again, we know that apart from him, his righteousness, we can't do anything. Going deep is trusting that he who began this work in me and in you is going to complete it. He's working on us now. Right now, he's working on us. Don't get off the potter's wheel. Don't run away from his presence. His presence changes us. His love changes us. To go deep, you must have intimacy with Jesus. You must know him, and he must know you. You know that scripture that talks about, but Lord, didn't we do this and didn't we do that for you? And he's going to say, well, I never knew you. I never knew you. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean that I'm supposed to, you know, do all the right things? No, it just means you didn't get to know him. You didn't sit with him. You weren't intimate with him. He wasn't allowed to get to know you. See, he knows us intimately. He's intimately acquainted with every single fault that I have. And he already made provision for every single one of them. I don't have to sit in shame and self-condemnation over the weaknesses that I have. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. I don't have that on the slide, but it says, trust in the Lord. Everybody knows this one. But let me tell you, don't gloss over it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. This one, Ephesians 4:14-16, so that we're no longer children, spiritually immature, tossed back and forth like ships on a stormy sea and carried about by every wind of shifting doctrine, by the cunning and trickery of unscrupulous men, by the deceitful scheming of people ready to do anything for personal profit. Here again, let's look at it in context of the true gospel versus the gospel of works. Okay? We can be tossed to and fro by every shifting doctrine. Because guess what? Man always has to add. They always have to add to the work of Christ. But speaking the truth in love in all things, both our speech and our lives expressing his truth. I have to continuously express his truth that it is no longer me, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Let us grow up in all things into him, following his example, who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, joined and knitted firmly together by what every joint supplies. And get this, when each part is working properly, causes the body to grow and to mature, building itself up in unselfish love. So what is our part? How do we go deep? Set yourself aside to be with him in the secret place. There is an invitation right now. The invitation has always been there. But for whatever reason, in this hour, I am sensing it so strongly, guys. It makes me shake on the inside that he is calling with such urgency in this hour. Set yourself aside to fellowship with other believers. This is not a time to be isolated. Isn't it funny that we have this pandemic going on right now and it just is isolating people? They're afraid, they're fearful, they're staying away, they're in their home, they don't want to go out, they don't want to be around people. Learn from one another. Set yourself aside to read the word of truth, the Bible. He does the work when we submit ourselves before him. There is no striving when we abide in him. Connect with him. He takes you deep. You have to abide. That's it. You know what abide means? Linger. Connect with him. We aren't talking about the do's and the don'ts of the law. We aren't talking about a head knowledge gained from book study. We're talking about the degree in which we lean on him. We need him. Every single one of us has habits, things that we struggle with that we can't seem to shake. Do you know how they come off? The only way they're going to come off is spending that intimate, quiet time with him. He breaks it off of us. His manifest presence we have access to. He said, you have bold access to it. He tore the veil. He even showed us in the physical. There was a physical tearing away of the veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place so that we can see the picture of what was happening in the spirit. In the spirit, there is no longer a disconnect between us and him because Jesus provided a way for us to come directly to the Father without hesitancy. He's not going to turn us away. He's beckoning us. He's continuously calling us. Doesn't come from being good, but from relationship, where he is allowed to change us because of closeness and connection, which produces the fruit that the world will see. And what is that fruit? Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control comes from the closeness and connection which allows that fruit to come for the world to see. And if the Holy Spirit is the oil and we are the lamp that's to be set on a hill, we can't light ourselves. We need his oil. We need his Holy Spirit. And we want revival, don't we? And revival is here. Do you know what revival is? It's making alive again those who've been alive but have fallen into a cold state. Or fallen out of the grace by trying to attain holiness apart from intimacy with Christ. No oil and without his presence. Can we put up the words of the last song real quick? Because it hit me so much. And team, you can, if you guys would come back up. It's in my notes here. This is before I knew that we were going to be doing this song. But I had a picture of embers. You see embers in a fireplace? They're just kind of there, kind of smoldering. And I had this picture. And the Lord asked me a question. What do you do to get a flame again when you see the embers? You blow on it. This is my journal. I don't write in it every single day, but I do write in it when I feel like the Lord has given me things. And I'm going to just read you a couple of excerpts out of it, but all in line with what he's doing. And I know that It's going to bear witness with your spirit. I hear the winds of the spirit. This was July 23rd, 2021. I hear the winds of the spirit, and they are swirling. It is gentle right now, as a wooing wind. Can you hear the wind of the spirit? It calls to you, come join in. Blow the trumpet. Will I not use my people as a trumpet? I will. And the sound will be heard in the nations, and many will come to the sound. Will you blow my trumpet? Will you call? Sound the clarion call. And I didn't know what clarion meant. And clarion means a clear call. And it's interesting that the theme for the cluster and for Church of the Nations is kingdom clarity. It's not hidden. It's plain to see, a distinct sound that without question is me, says God. You will know it is me, no question. It is a call full of emotion and love and urgency to action. See, the church has been sitting in the sidelines, sitting in the car, sitting on the beach. And the Lord is saying, I have a deeper place that I want my people to come into. It's that leaning place. It's that leaning place. It's that leaning place. One more. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened down, and I will give you rest. I will sustain the weary one with a song. I will lift up those who are tired and empower them to fly. The wind is blowing in the earth from its four corners. You will not be able to know which way it comes, but you will see its effects, and you will ride on the winds of my spirit. I will give you my perspective in this hour. You will be able to distinguish good from evil, justice from injustice. I will cause all my goodness to be revealed in you, and the brightness of my spirit will illuminate the heart of the lost sons and daughters, the hearts that were hard. I will again soften. I will melt the mountains like wax before me, before my burning presence, and the wax will burn for my great glory. The earth will see my glory. The burning ones are coming. Last scripture, and then we're going to have a time of ministry. If you feel that longing, if something in the inside of you, that is your spirit longing for more of his presence. Too many times we get comfortable in our seats, and yes, it's uncomfortable to make a stand. But today, I'm offering you and extending to you the invitation of the Holy Spirit. Will you come deep? Will you come lean into me? And we're going to have a time of ministry and singing. And if you feel that stirring in your soul, all here, lay it down. We need you to be a burning one for his presence, a burning one for this community. This is the last scripture, and then we're going. Ezekiel 37:1-14. You guys are very familiar with this. It's the Valley of the Dry Bones. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and the tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come, breathe from the four winds, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. I'm going to stop there. Vast army. So I give you liberty. Father, I pray for liberty in this house, for freedom in this house to respond to the breath of your Holy Spirit. Just thank you, Lord, for this time of ministry that we submit to you. And Lord, have your way. Have your way.